Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk about the suicide prevention program at the Minneapolis VA, visit with a new Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company, hear about the newest Country Salute CD, and visit with Minnesota's National Guard's Command Sergeant Major. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
On December 13, 1636, Massachusetts colonists who were farmers, butchers, artists, and builders banded together, forming a militia that defended their communities from attack. From those humble beginnings came today's National Guard, which proudly serves across our 54 states and territories. The iconic image of a colonial militia member setting aside their farmer's plow and picking up their musket still represents us well today. We may now also be software engineers, aviation mechanics, and other professionals our predecessors could not have imagined at the time. But our citizen airmen and soldiers continue to live, ready to respond to the call of our state and nation. To those who have and those who continue to serve as members of our National Guard, thank you. Ours can be a challenging path to follow, but your service and the support of your families, employers, and communities ensure that we are a force that is truly always ready, always there.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said in the opening, we're going to learn about the suicide prevention program at the Minneapolis VA today. And I have two guests joining us in the studio, Jesse Fowle and Eric Wittenberg. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Great. Thank you. We're happy to be here to represent veterans, as we both are, and also the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, which has been a five-star facility for the past several years.
Jesse, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We're going to make him wait. We're going to start with you now.
Okay.
Understand you served in the Army.
I did 4 years in the Army, two of which were Army National Guard. I deployed to Iraq in 2005 and then continued on with active duty from there, stationed at Fort Bliss, Texas, and then Fort Riley, Kansas.
And you went on and got a degree in nursing?
I did. So I had a degree in public health before joining the Army. While I was in the Army, I was a 92 Alpha Logistics. And then I also was a combat lifesaver, which got me interested in going to nursing school when I was done with the Army.
And how did you get involved in the suicide prevention program at the Minneapolis VA?
I've always worked in mental health with my nursing career. It's just one of the parts of the brain is the most fascinating to me. And this position really spoke to me. I was hired into it and started in June. I'm an education and outreach specialist for suicide prevention. So it really is a combination of my public health degree and my nursing background.
And because you're a veteran, you wanted to help your fellow veterans.
Of course. I love working with veterans. It's another way to continue to serve.
Very good. And Eric, I understand you're an Army veteran as well.
Yes, I did about 3.5 years active duty Army as a 19 Delta Cav Scout stationed out in a small base in Bavaria, Vilsack, Germany. And then I did a 1 year combat tour in Afghanistan in 2010 with a Stryker unit.
And you have a Master of Social Work degree.
I do, yep. I did my master's actually before I joined the Army. I did things a little backwards. I didn't join until I was 32, as my career was well established. Always had pride in military and veterans and wanted to experience that and serve my country, knowing that when I was out, I would come back and support and serve the veterans again.
And how long have you been working on as a suicide prevention coordinator?
Going on about 14 months right now. We do have a second suicide prevention coordinator as well, who is detailed to other tasks for the hospital. So right now I am the sole one acting as the suicide prevention coordinator.
Well, I understand that the VA recently released the National Strategy for Preventing Veteran Suicide. Can you tell us about that? Who wants to take the first stab at that? Jesse?
Yep, I'll take it for sure. Yeah, so a few months ago, this is a public document. Anybody can look it up. It's titled National Strategy for Preventing Veteran Suicide 2018 to 2028. And what it really does is it's making a change towards, I'm doing air quotes here, is suicide prevention 2.0. So we're starting to look at things that hadn't been as effective to now doing some research and some studying and getting some data to show what is effective in suicide prevention with veterans in the community, in the hospital. They set aside a bunch of goals and some statistics and data so we can all, as VA employees, help better serve the veteran to prevent suicides.
Now, I understand also that you're focused, or the VA is focused, on lethal means reduction.
Yes.
Can you tell us what that means and what you're and how you're doing that?
Yep. So right now, the latest data has come out to show that 67% of veterans who die by suicide use a firearm. That is a very high rate. So we're passing out gun locks. We're putting in our policies and our paperwork on admission and discharge, where providers, doctors are asking veterans, do you have access to guns? Can somebody take them for you? And letting them know of the risks. A huge risk factor also is medication overdose. So the pharmacies have these envelopes that you can mail back if you're stockpiling meds or have extra medication. So when you are having suicidal thoughts, they aren't easily accessible, and we're educating folks and staff on that.
We're speaking with Eric Wittenberg and Jesse Fow from the Minneapolis VA Hospital on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Jesse, he's dominated, so we're going to come to you for a minute.
Yep.
I understand the VA has adopted the public health model for suicide prevention. How does that look different from what the VA has done in the past?
So the public health model for suicide prevention is really going to break down and look at how we can get into the communities and get into populations. What's been done in the past has been more of a broad approach, and it's been successful. But what we really want to do is narrow in our focus and look at data that supports where these veterans are, where we can reach them, so that way you can narrow in our goals and reach these veterans.
So is the biggest issue here finding the veterans that are having trouble, or is part of that also letting them know that the VA knows how to help?
So it's a combination of both of those things. So what we know from the research is that 20 veterans die by suicide each day. 6 of those veterans are engaged in care in the VHA and using the VA for their healthcare system. That means 14 of those veterans are not engaged in care. So we really want to use and engage our community so we can help find those 14 and engage them into getting care and figure out where those needs are that need to be met.
So if we know of a veteran that might be having some problems with depression or maybe thinking about suicide, do they have to be enrolled in the VA system? Can they just call the VA? Do they call the suicide hotline? What do you do?
So it's kind of a combination of all those things. So if you know of a veteran that's struggling, definitely recommend the Veterans Crisis Line to them. And that number is 1-800-273-8255. Veterans have the option to press 1, which brings them to a VA call center. Veterans can also call the VA hospital or walk in and get treatment right there.
So there's plenty of treatment available. The doctors know how to help.
Yes.
Something has happened to that veteran if they're having these kind of thoughts, and we need to fix that. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. And we just want to encourage that there is help out there and that we're able to provide that help through the VA.
And Eric, where do you come in this process in your position?
So the suicide prevention program, we're mandated every medical center has to have a program. And so we really take a threefold approach, right? We help the veterans when they call the Veterans Crisis Line. We connect them with care, whether in the facility or community resources. And then we also monitor and track the high risk for suicide flag, which is a way for veterans to get enhanced care from VA providers. The second aspect is the medical center itself. So we take time to educate the staff on, you know, policy changes or best practices for risk assessments, safety plans. And we're also looking at policies. And then the third one is community efforts to educate everybody involved in that veteran's life on how to ask that question and get them the help that they need.
Eric, Jesse, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about suicide prevention. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Jesse Fow and Eric Wittenberg, who are part of the suicide prevention efforts at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. And, of course, they're part of the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, which includes the medical center and all of the community-based outpatient clinics. And when we talk today about getting help, whether the veteran needs help or whether a family member wants to talk to somebody, we are going to send you to the hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255, press 1 for veterans, or you can just call the Minneapolis VA Medical Center or one of the outpatient clinics, and they'll get you some help right away. Better off to call and make sure things are taken care of than not and have something bad happen. I want to come back and talk about our veterans out there. We've got several hundred thousand veterans in Minnesota. And I understand that we lose 20 per day nationwide. And hopefully we're not losing that many in Minnesota, but that's a whole nother topic. If a family has a veteran, or if you have a friend that's a veteran, and you start to notice some changes, what would you look for? What are the signs that someone is thinking they're depressed or they're thinking about suicide?
So really what you're looking for is any change in behavior, right? People know what a depressed person might look like. They're isolating. They're not talking. They're not sleeping, or they're sleeping too much. Then we have to look at, you know, the veterans that come back with post-traumatic stress disorder, right? Looking at, they might have some anger issues. They might be withdrawing from friends and family. Somebody who was able to contact them or spend time with them, they no longer want to do that. Drinking, drug use, if you see that increase, that's another big issue. So when people see that they change, it's better to address that right off the bat and ask them how they're doing. Is there anything I can do for help? Reinforce that there's professionals out there, right? There's the VA hospitals and the community-based outpatient clinics to help them. And you just really want, you know, the family and friends know these veterans way better than the doctors that see them for an hour every 2 weeks do. So really, we want to make sure that the family and friends are the ones that are taking that first step and getting their help. And that really does tie into that public health model.
Jesse, that sounds like a very uncomfortable conversation. If I see a friend or a family member that's maybe drinking more than usual, staying home, acting differently, how do you go about, how do you open up and say, hey, are you having some trouble? Are you depressed? How do you do that?
I agree that it can be very uncomfortable, especially for family members, to ask a loved one if they are having thoughts of harming themselves or killing themselves. I think of it as it's no different than asking somebody how their emotional health is or how their physical health is. Like, how are your diabetes today? Are you managing well? So how is your mood today? How are your thoughts today? How are you managing? And there's no problem in asking somebody very directly. We actually encourage that direct question. Are you having thoughts of killing yourself? Are you having thoughts of suicide? Because that doesn't give a person an out. Because if you give somebody an open-ended question, then they can potentially give you the wrong answer.
And slough then, it off and
exactly.
Say, I'm fine, leave me alone.
Exactly.
Now, the alternative to that is if you don't ask that question and they are having trouble and they do commit suicide, you're going to feel pretty bad by not having asked the question and not seeking help for them. The VA has help. You know what to do, right?
Correct. We at the VA, with the public health model, think suicide prevention is everybody's responsibility. And that's why we go out into the community and we educate. We often use the SAVE model, which is signs, ask, validate, encourage, and expedite help. It's a gatekeeper training from our national office, and it will walk family members and community members through how to address signs and symptoms of concern, and also asking that very direct, pinpointed question.
So Eric, the veteran or the family or friend of a veteran can call the VA or call the hotline.
Yes, we get that a lot where a concerned mother or wife is like, hey, my veteran spouse is not doing well. They're not asking help. What can I do? And then from there on, that opens the door for them for plenty of options for somebody to help and check them out too. And the other thing I wanted to say to the previous question is oftentimes, more often than not, people who are having suicidal ideation or plans are sending signs and signals to their loved ones that they need help. They might not be verbally like, I'm having these thoughts, but that's why you have to pick up on those small little nuances that you know from that person and really start asking those questions.
So it might just go, hey, I love you. I'm worried about you. Something's changed. Mm-hmm. What's going on with your life? How can I help? Can we get you some help?
Yep. And an example I'll use is I have a group text of guys I went to Afghanistan with, about six of us. And if one of our buddies hasn't chimed in a week or two, you know, a lot of us will take that extra step and call him or text him on our own. And, you know, we mockingly say, hey, this is a buddy check. How you doing? But that seems to work very well in our group. And I highly suggest other veterans do that as well.
We used to use the term, we're going to go knock on the door and sniff under the door and
there
see if everything smells okay.
Yeah. Exactly. And when you're asking a veteran about their signs and symptoms and about their changings, you're actually allowing them to open up about what they're experiencing and what they're feeling. And you're really giving them that space and that validation.
And then you say, let's get some help because it's out there.
Exactly. Right.
We're speaking about suicide prevention efforts at the Minneapolis VA and Minnesota Military Radio. Now, once they've made the connection with the VA, Are there different programs? Is there an inpatient program? Is there an outpatient program? How do you proceed? What's the next steps?
Yes. So most of the time they'll do a mental health intake if they don't come through the emergency department. We do have an inpatient psych unit with 24 beds that veterans can use to stabilize. There is a great program up at the St. Cloud VA called RRTP. It's a residential rehabilitation treatment program where they treat PTSD and substance abuse issues. Otherwise, if somebody isn't at an acute risk, they can be seen for individual therapy or start medication with a physician or a provider.
Jesse, a lot of this is, let's take a look at what's causing the problem. Let's take it out. Let's talk about it. Let's see if we can fix it. Let's put it behind you, and then let's move on with the rest of your life and see if we can't do something fun.
Exactly. And that's why we want to pull in the community so much, because we want the community engaged in the health of our veterans. So it's a great population to have around, and we want to keep our veteran population as healthy as we can.
I think we have to be careful not to paint the picture that every veteran is a problem or has problems. Right. Most veterans are just fine. They're married. They have families. They're working. They're pretty well adjusted. But occasionally things happen. And in my generation, Vietnam veterans, now that they're retiring, they've got time on their hands, and some of those old demons come back, mm-hmm. and they really don't understand they need to talk about it.
Right. Talking about it, and then also engaging in self-care, which is part of the whole health, public health model. Engaging in self-care, finding volunteer activities, engaging with another veteran, maybe being like a peer support or a mentor or something like that, but really doing the things that we need to keep ourselves well.
Eric, we got about 1 minute. Can you summarize this conversation quickly for us?
Yes. To summarize, you know, all veterans go through a multitude of issues, whether you're deployed or not. It doesn't matter if you served. You're in a different culture, right? And the help is out there. The help is closer than you think. If you think people don't care about you, or you'd be better off without them, or they'd be better off without you, that is, you know, irrational thinking at that time due to the illness or the thoughts you're having. So just don't ever give up. Take care of each other and make sure that your family and friends know how you're doing, because that's going to be the first line of help for sure.
And Jesse, as we mentioned earlier, you and Eric are both veterans, but part of the reason you joined the VA was to help other veterans.
Yes.
We care. We're part of the same family.
Yes, exactly. We're all part of the same family. We're all part of the same community. And that's why we want to keep our families and our communities healthy.
And so if your veteran is experiencing some trouble, call the Minneapolis VA, call the outpatient clinics, or go to the hotline, the suicide prevention hotline, 1-800-273-8255, and press 1. Jesse, Eric, I want to thank you both for coming to the studio today.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
This is Jesse Fow and Eric Wittenberg from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system talking about suicide prevention. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to visit with a new Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with a new Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
December 7th marks the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the veterans community will gather to honor and remember this war, those who fought, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. It is humbling each year to be in the presence of Pearl Harbor survivors and a reminder to how few remain with us today. President Roosevelt declared that December 7th will be a day that will live in infamy. Each and every day I am reminded of the sacrifices Pearl Harbor veterans made as I see the 4-inch gun from the USS Ward that sits just west of the Veterans Service Building here in St. Paul. We honor and remember our heroes who are with us today and those who have passed.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now in the studio is Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach from the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Annette, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm having flashbacks here. We're supposed to be talking about a new yellow ribbon company, but with the guest you brought in, I'm feeling like I'm at the Minnesota State Fair.
Absolutely. USAA has been a wonderful partner to us since the beginning of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, I can't tell you. So we are so excited to have them as one of our newest yellow ribbon companies. And Mike Evans joins us today. He's the military affairs representative that works with us on Minnesota or Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair all these years and has been a wonderful partner to be on the Yellow Ribbon program.
Well, Mike, welcome to the studio. I thought they had you locked up after the summertime in the fair and they wouldn't let you out in the winter.
No, they let us out in the winter, and Annette and I were talking before the show, and the busyness doesn't stop. So we stay busy supporting military members, veterans, and their families throughout the year.
Now, Mike, you spent 24 years in the Army?
Yeah, I did, and it wasn't a straight shot from beginning to end, and I did 2 years active and a year in the Guard, a year in the Reserves, and then went back on active duty to finish up my active duty time.
Now, you're the Military Affairs Representative for USAA here in Minnesota. But USAA, let's go back to the start of that. It's an interesting company because it was started by some veterans when they came back from war and couldn't find proper insurance, so they said, let's do it ourselves.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. In 1922, a group of veterans decided to insure themselves because they couldn't find an insurer that would take on that risk. And we've been in business a long time, and today we've got about 12 million members doing business with us across the full spectrum of our lines of business.
And your customers, are they all veterans?
Currently serving military members, veterans, or their family members, yes, sir.
So it's a really unique business in that it was started by veterans, it's for veteran customers, and it's for insurance. And everybody that I know that's a service member or has USAA insurance isn't going to change.
Yeah, we have a pretty good retention rate. I mean, I don't know what the number is today, but once they have a claims or a customer service experience with us, they have a tendency to stay.
Now, you've been helping out at the State Fair for years, and of course you've been on our show, I think, quite a few of those summers for a bit to tell us about USAA, but finally, you become a yellow ribbon company. What took so long, Mike?
Well, you know, it's something that we elevated to corporate a couple of times. It took 2 or 3 years before we got an executive who took interest, and that was Mike Kelly a couple years ago, the assistant vice president for military advocacy. And he took interest and said, we had to do this. And we started it in 2017 and finished it up in 2018.
Now, one of the commitments you make when you become a yellow ribbon company is a commitment to recruiting and hiring veteran employees. USAA's been doing that forever, haven't they?
Yeah, we sure have, Tom. I think initially we had a goal of about 25% of our new hires are military members or veterans or their spouses. And in 2018, I think the goal was bumped up to 30% of all new hires are currently serving military members, veterans, or their spouses. And I think we're at about 27% is where we're at, but we're still pushing towards that 30% hiring goal.
Mike, I would have expected about 50% from your company.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to get the military folks that transition out of the military to come in to corporate America. So we're helping in that transition space and helping veterans with their resumes and bring them into the corporate lifestyle and just getting them acquainted.
Now, I assume you've been spending some time with Annette in order to accomplish this becoming a yellow ribbon company here in Minnesota. Are you under her sphere of influence? What has she taught you?
Oh, yeah. She helped us through this yellow ribbon action plan. So we had to develop this, what are we going to be doing over the next year, 2 years, 3 years in support of the yellow ribbon company action plan? And we got a bunch of things outlined that we're going to be doing over the next couple of years.
We're speaking with Mike Evans, military affairs representative from USAA on Minnesota Military Radio. What are your next steps? What are the commitments that USAA has made now that they've been announced as a yellow ribbon company?
Well, a couple of the things is just continuing to support these ongoing efforts to help our veterans transition from military life into corporate America, helping them with resumes. And our leadership just attended the 2018 Women's Veterans Corporate Roundtable out in D.C. on 9 November, talking about specifically women's veterans issues and how do we get those issues tackled by corporate America who want to hire veterans. And we just attended the Hiring Our Heroes gala out in D.C. Again, we were the presenting sponsor. And again, these are awards to six or seven or eight different categories. Corporate America, people that are doing good things out there, getting our veterans hired and transitioned into the workforce.
Now, Mike, USAA is a national company. You write policies all over the country. Did this becoming a Yellow Ribbon company here in Minnesota, did that reawaken some things for USAA? Because you're talking about some of these national events that you've been going to.
Yeah, and this has been an ongoing effort for a number of years, Tom. So a lot of this isn't new. It's just a renewed effort and push and kind of a refocus to make sure that these veterans issues, how we get them transitioned from military life to corporate America into meaningful jobs, and how do we do that, and what are some of the best practices?
Now, Mike, we've learned on this show over the last 8 years that in the last decade or so, more and more women are serving in the military than back in my time in Vietnam. There weren't very many women over there, and they're coming out of the military in greater numbers than ever before. Has that been reflected in your hiring practices?
Well, in at USA, we have spouses and veterans who are part of our human resources talent team that go out to military installations as part of the transition assistance program and talk to transitioning military members, whether male or female, and tell them about the roles and responsibilities at USAA, and just let them know that we're there to help them with that transition process, and if they want to pursue a career with USAA, that we're available.
And if any of our listeners are interested in joining USAA, how do they go about that? Is there a website to go to? Where do they learn more about the company?
Yeah, the best way is to go online at USAA.com or to call the 800 number, 800-531-8111, and just talk to the member service rep about joining.
So it's USAA.com.
Yes, sir.
And they can find out all the information they want there.
Everything they need, or the 800 number at 531-8111.
Annette, another great Yellow Ribbon company. How many are you up to now?
We're up to 65 Yellow Ribbon companies. So USAA is just setting a great expectation for other companies to follow.
And Mike, I have to ask you a follow-up question. Are we going to see you out at the State Fair next year?
You know, Annette and I really haven't talked about it, but I think we're committed to supporting that event as long as Annette will have us.
For all our listeners, you heard it here first. USAA is going to continue to help support Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota Great Get-Together, the Minnesota State Fair. And Annette, I'm sure you're already working on that. Is there a theme for next year?
We don't have a theme yet. We've been bouncing some around, and Mike and I and the other rest of the team will be thinking of some great themes for upcoming years.
It comes up quick.
It sure does.
All right, Mike, you've got about 1 minute left. Any final thoughts about USAA? And I know you've worked there for quite a while, so you must like it.
Yeah, Tom, I've been an employee there now for 10 years, and we just had an employee meeting on the 6th of December, and I really appreciate our CEO's comments. And he says, hey, we got to take care of our employees. And if we take care of our employees, they will in turn take care of our members. And I really like that approach. Take care of the employees first, who then take care of the members. And they've done a pretty good job taking care of me.
So for any of our listeners thinking about seeking employment with USAA, you'd recommend it?
I would recommend it, especially if they wanted to go to a warmer climate. You know, Phoenix, Arizona, the campus is really, really nice, and there's jobs down there. So that'd be a nice time to get to Phoenix from Minnesota.
So, Mike, you're going to steal some of my listeners. They're going to sign up to go to work for USAA, and you're going to send them down to Phoenix.
Send them to Phoenix or Colorado Springs or Tampa. You bet. This time of year, it's a great place to go.
24 years in the Army, you're a naughty boy, Mike. But great opportunities with USAA. Thanks for joining us today, Mike.
My pleasure, Tom.
30 seconds left, Annette.
Well, I'd just like to thank USAA, and Mike has been a wonderful representation of that organization in partnering with all of our military initiatives in the state.
And they've done a really, really fine job of supporting us out at Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. We've had days out there for the Vietnam vets and for the women veterans, and I'm sure you're going to come up with a good theme again this year. And Mike, to you and Mr. Kelly, who we had on the show, I think last year or the year before, thank you very much, and congratulations on becoming a Yellow Ribbon company.
Thanks, Tom. Really appreciate it.
That was Annette Kuiper and Mike Evans from USAA on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We have a special guest in the studio. We have Neil Freeman with us from Total Country Bob FM. Neil, welcome to my studio.
Yeah, this is a pleasure, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Usually I'm up at your place sitting right. To help out things, and Can you share with the listeners, you've got three stations and a big swath of central Minnesota, and you've been a part of Minnesota Military Radio Network for years.
Yeah, almost since the inception of your show. And by the way, I have to say congratulations to you and your crew that put this show together. It is great radio. I've heard it countless times, and I say this from the bottom of my heart. You do great work for veterans and for Minnesota military families and just Minnesotans in general. The information disseminated is outstanding, and you guys have done a great job. And we're pleased to be one of the, or three, I guess, of the 55 stations that now broadcast your program, your Minnesota Military Radio Show. We're based on the northern part of the Twin Cities, and we have three FM signals. 105.5 serves central Minnesota from Alexandria down to St. Cloud. Then 106.1 kind of picks up there in St. Cloud and serves down through the metro, the southern part of the metro. And then 107.5 picks up from there and goes all the way to the Iowa-Minnesota border. So geographically, we have a pretty nice FM footprint.
Neil, I've been a fan of Bob FM ever since you came on the air, and one of the things that I've noticed and we've talked about before is every week you're supporting another cause. You're doing some great stuff. You've helped help us support the military here in Minnesota, and you're in the fifth year now of something called the Minnesota Country Salute CD that benefits the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and Tribute to the Troops. Can you tell us about it?
I sure can. You know, we're a rarity a little bit in the market in that we have local ownership, and they have been great about allowing me and our staff at Bob FM to support charitable causes and people that seem to need help. And they've been very trusting with me and allowing me to help where we can. And we're all Minnesotans. We all live in Minnesota. We all work in Minnesota. And there's lots of people that can use some help with the power of radio. And the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and Tribute to the Troops are two of those groups. And these are basically, and very near and dear to your heart, all volunteer organizations. The money raised stays in Minnesota and benefits Minnesota military families. And Tribute to the Troops benefits the Gold Star families with the Children's Scholarship Fund. The MMFF, and you know it better than I do, supports those military men and women that are being actively serving. And we take care of their families should they have a financial crisis at home. That's what the MMFF was all about. So when I heard, when I kind of got to know those two charities, and we put this charity project together, it involves this year 21 Minnesota bands and singers with 21 original songs, country songs, and we put them all on one CD, and then we sell them for $10, and we give all the net proceeds to those two organizations. We've raised just shy of $100,000 through 4 years of the project, and we're going to go way past that this year, and we're super excited about it. Cub food stores, Cub stores, 70 of them are where you can find these CDs for $10. And new this year, Tom, we added one national act. If you're a 90s country fan, you know the group Blackhawk, and they gave us one song for the CD. I told the lead singer and the guy, Henry Paul, I said, here's what we're doing. He said, I want to donate a song to help you sell more CDs and raise more money for Minnesota military families. So there's an original Blackhawk song and then 21 local bands, Tom.
Neil, I love the cover this year because you've got a female in combat boots and in her uniform, plus standing right next to her, the same female in cowboy boots.
Yep.
And the cover is terrific. I think these are wonderful stocking stuffers.
You are correct, sir.
Christmas is coming up. You can get them at Cub Foods or you can get them at dealsonradio.com, which is part of your station.
Yep. Absolutely. If you get a hold of us, go to our website, mybobcountry.com. There's a list of places you can get them, and 70 Cub stores have them. Let's raise a whole bunch of money for Minnesota military families this holiday season.
And then stand by for announcements on Bob of the annual listener appreciation event in January.
Yep.
And if you go to that, you can find out just how much money that you've raised.
Yeah, we give out the big check to the two charities last Saturday in January out at the Medina, and three of the bands off the CD will be playing and performing there.
Neil, you and your team do a fantastic job. Keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us today.
Tom, you're a great man. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for having me today on your program.
Neil Freeman with the Country Salute CD, on Total Country Bob FM. Joining me now is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Tom. It's great to be with you, especially as we enter this fantastic holiday season, one of my favorite times of the year, of course.
Sergeant Major, you were with us a couple of weeks ago. We had on the division commander from the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, who's over in Kuwait with 650 soldiers. And I know we've got several hundred airmen out and some other troops out. It seems like we're in part of the cycle where they're, we've got a lot of people deployed, and you've been alerted to some additional deployments next year.
Yeah, Tom, you're exactly right. And, you know, I think it's just a constant reminder, especially to the listening audience and the fine citizens of Minnesota, that their Minnesota National Guard is actively employed. We are gainfully employed and engaged in what's going on around not only the community, but, of course, serving our national mission, which is federal deployments and mobilization, supporting all different corners of this world. So, yes, Tom, the deployments, they're not slowing down. And as you mentioned, we've got people on active deployment right now, about 1,000, close to 1,000 Minnesota Guard members, and another large group of soldiers that are preparing for a mobilization later in 2019.
Sergeant Major, it seems like you go out and you have a good mission and you do a good job, and your reward is you're asked to go again.
yeah, I guess that's kind of the way it is. But you know what? We don't take that as any type of an insult. Actually, you know what? It's a compliment. It's a compliment to the training, to the leadership that we have inside of the Minnesota National Guard. And you know, we are always training and preparing to live by our motto of always ready. And because we are at a high level of readiness and we are always ready, we are prepared to answer those calls when they come in from local, state, national authorities.
Sergeant Major, you mentioned we're at the holiday season. Christmas is coming up. The good news is we've got some troops coming home for Christmas.
Yeah, we sure do. We had some soldiers based out of Brooklyn Park, the headquarters and headquarters company with our 347th Regional Support Group. And they're going to be returning after about a nine-month deployment to Kuwait. And just to refresh the listening audience memory, I think it was last month that we had Captain Nelson on the phone. And so it's going to be great to welcome that group back.
Sergeant Major, I know there's an event coming up for the families of the 650 soldiers that are deployed to Kuwait, a family readiness group holiday party?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. The Adjutant General and I are going to go attend that event. It's over in Rosemount, and there is scheduled to have over 500 family members at this event. And as you stated, these are the family members, friends and families, of course, of our currently deployed Red Bull soldiers. So the Adjutant General and I are looking forward to visiting with those family members and delivering them to them the message from Major General Correll, the 34th Infantry Division Commanding General, you know, his message of thanks and, of course, his holiday wishes as well. So it's good to see those family members and let them know that we are here for them and continue to support them while their loved ones are deployed.
And next week will be Minnesota Military Radio's annual Chaplain's Christmas Show with Chaplain Wynn, who's deployed, and Chaplain Messer, who's back here as the redetachment chaplain taking care of the families. And we'll find out what a great job the Chaplain's Corps is doing for our deployed soldiers and their families. Sergeant Major, we've just got a little less than a minute left. I know that the holiday season is here, and I think that what's on your mind and the Adjutant General's mind is safety and security and being aware of what you're doing.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, first and foremost is the safety of our soldiers, their families. And just, you know, the message is we want to enjoy this time of the year. We want to enjoy time with our family, but we always have to do it safely as well. We got to be cognizant of the things that are going on around us. And quite honestly, it's critical to our formation to make sure that all of our members take that very seriously, because we can't continue to do what we are expected to do if we don't have members here to support that mission. And that means that they've got to be prepared and, of course, be safe and make it through this season safely as well.
So for our service members, their families, and all our listeners, be careful out there this holiday season. We want you all to have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and don't want any accidents.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tom. And we want to have a good time, and let's create memories. Let's make sure they're good ones.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, thank you so much, Tom. Happy holidays to you, to the listening audience, and I look forward to visiting and chatting with you next year in 2019.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Eric Wittenberg and Jesse Fowl from the Minneapolis VA, Mike Evans from USAA, Neil Freeman from Bob FM, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shelato of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week for our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show with Chaplain Buddy Wynn joining us from Kuwait. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.